This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you.
What's your favorite day of the week? Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday. This was the day that $2 22-ounce beers were consumed in college. Mm. Boy, that times have changed. I wonder what that is now with inflation. You know?
Not great, man. Oh, those $5 footlongs are no longer real either.
Yeah. The Dollar Tree doesn't have things that are all a dollar.
No.
You know?
Definitely don't get batteries from there.
Never get batteries from there.
Or steak.
Unless you're Will Ortner. I have another buddy who he swears by the Dollar Tree steaks, and I swear at him every time he says that. So I will never trust anything to eat from the Dollar Tree.
I like it.
That's just like a... I think that's a hard rule that everybody can live by.
I mean, yeah.
You know, don't trust, especially perishable items.
Look, the lowest I'll go on that is at the grocery store where they've got the gotta move it section of the meat.
Oh, yeah.
Not that it's expired, but
didn't
it has
that give
like,
you the bubble guts not too long ago?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's only if I don't know, if I'm at the grocery store and I'm like, I don't know what I have for dinner tonight. And I see that, oh, they've got some really nice steaks here that got to go in a day.
Yeah,
I'm cooking them tonight anyway, so.
We used to have that back in the day, like the old Albertsons used to have Meat Monday, where it was like the kind of everything's got to go, and the new meats would come in. That was when we would come in and we'd get good eating on those Mondays.
Yeah, you can get some nice flank steak. You can get a New York.
Yeah.
You can,
heck yeah,
and if you're cooking that night, it doesn't matter. If it's still red, it's still good.
Sure.
Yeah. You want that nice deep red. When it starts turning gray and blue, no go.
Mm-mm.
Hard pass.
Mm-mm.
Have you ever done the dry aged?
Yeah.
It's a different taste.
It is.
It's a different taste.
Well,
I've only done the 45 day. I've never done anything beyond that.
Well, it's a little, for beef, it gets gamey.
Yeah.
It's get a little funk to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like blue cheese.
Yeah, it's literally what happens.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same dealsies. Samesies. But, yeah, all right. Well, Tuesday. I love Tuesdays.
Tuesday steak day.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a listener who's come up to me a couple of times, and he said that every time I say Tuesday, reminds him of his dad. When he was an old timer, used to drop Tuesday.
Mm.
And that is... That's basically
it's very old-timey.
Where it is. I mean, my goodness gracious. It Tuesday, and then you start saying like Washington, or you just throw R's in, random words that don't have an R in them whatsoever. But that's the name of the game at that point. You know? Your speech just changes.
I like it.
I'm here for it. I can't wait to be an old man. And you can kind of just say whatever you want. Like, what are you going to do? Cancel me?
Yeah.
I've been through it all.
Yeah, once you get to a certain point, you're not uncancelable.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff you can do, but you're more impervious.
Gross. The fan text line, 503-864-6326. Grocery store worker here. The discount meat is usually covered in seasoning to cover up the bad spots. Gross.
Yeah, you never get the seasoned ones. You never get the seasoned ones.
Oh, no. That's not good. That's not good at all. Oh, that makes me question a lot of things in life. Question all of it. Mr. Charles Entertainment Cheese, how are you over there? That's the Jeff Russ t-shirt of the day is Charles Entertainment Cheese.
I'll get like the Calbee marinated steak from the meat counter.
You want the... Well, we're talking about like moving into like the...
Yeah, right, the discount.
Everything must go.
Yes, the stuff that expires like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Calbee you're probably safe with. Although it probably does an even better job of hiding it because you're putting the juices in.
Was that you that got the bubble guts off of the...
I think it was,
nearly expired meats?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God bless you.
Yeah, I think that was me.
How do you feel about that?
Won't keep you from going back. You'll go back.
Yeah. Just, you know, it's not like I'm out going out there trying to eat blowfish or something.
Yeah, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's red meat only, and it's definitely not ground beef. I'm not doing chicken or pork.
No chicken or pork?
No, we're not. If it,
I don't mess with chicken.
If it's close to the expiration,
I do. I eat a lot of chicken, but
if it's close to the expiration, no. I had the freezer clean the other day, and this is terrible. The very bottom of the freezer, there was frozen chicken thighs from 2021 in the bottom of the freezer.
Well, they're frozen.
I mean,
my wife is...
They went in the trash.
My wife is cheap, so she'll be like, no, it's been frozen. It's good. I'm like, I still don't trust that.
Yeah, 4 years is too much.
I just
That was the only thing that was egregious. Everything else that was in there was 3 months or less.
Yeah, I don't... Because, look, if it's been in there for that long... Probably not eating it. We haven't eaten it at this point.
It was just buried under everything else, mostly my ice packs.
Oh, okay.
That I rotate through. And I was like, you know what? It's been a little while. Let me go ahead and dip in here. Mm. And other than that, it was just like some small, like half bag of something. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, this can go too.
You got like a pillbox in your freezer for your various ice packs Sunday and Monday and Tuesday.
I actually do have a slider that has like assorted packs that are the big hip ones, knee wraps, and then like gel packs, and then smaller ones. Because I do have them for like literally my entire. I have wraps for literally my entire lower body.
Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like when you're 60?
I try not to.
Yeah,
I try not to. Like I joke about it, but like in all seriousness, in the next probably 10 to 12 years, both my knees and both my hips will be replaced.
Probably just gonna be kind of a gelatinous goo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All those bones are just gonna disintegrate at this rate.
Well, it's like there was that. This is gonna go real dark. There was a funeral home that got busted for like selling human bones, and they had like it separated from like the cremated bones versus like things that were left. Like all of the inserts,
yeah. Them
and
titanium
screws and,
hips
like,
don't go.
They don't burn down, man. And it was like, I was like, man, what do you do with that? Because like that's actually worth money. Because it just goes from medical grade down to aerospace grade.
I don't know the grading. So you're saying that your knees and hips are going to go to the moon?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, to the moon, baby.
Is that what you're trying to
I can't remember if it's aerospace to medical or medical to aerospace, but...
I have no idea.
I know there's a
I would hope medical's at the top.
I would hope so, too, because there's a company that my dad has done work for decades. They make medical screws, and it was funny. I made it not a joke, but I asked the surgeon the first time I had some put in me. I'm like... Hey, are those screws from this company? And he was like, how the hell did you know that? And I was like, yeah, there's like a 70% chance that those screws were made by a machine that my dad makes or sold or repaired. And I was just kind of like, this is kind of a weird thing to have happen because having a surgery on the other side of the planet and having those same screws put in you from a place here, it's kind of weird. I say all this to say when they get done with whatever they're making, they take all of the shavings and they sell it.
Mm.
Because it's
you stuck the landing
there. Yeah,
I didn't know. Not quite sure where you were going with that, but you stuck the landing.
It was a roundabout.
Yeah,
and we got off at the right. We went around once.
I was lost for a minute.
I know. I saw a look on your face.
We got
where
there.
Where is he going with this?
We got there at the end, and that's all that matters. All right. Well, that's talking screws.
There you go.
It is pretty crazy, though, like when you go in for a surgery and they're literally just with like a drill.
Oh,
they're
it's like
drilling you.
It's people think it's like this very precise thing. Now, don't get me wrong. It can be if you're doing like brain surgery. But if you're doing like what I had done, they literally drilled four holes.
Yeah.
Two in my leg, two in my hip, and stuff like a tube in it and stick a camera in and then basically play a video game. It's not like this like very like, you know, precise. I mean, it gets precise in a sense, but it's pretty wild. And when you do the hip replacements, they literally just cut you open, whack it out, and hammer a new one in.
Yeah, that's gross,
dude. It's wild.
That's super gross. Mm-hmm. For those that are wondering, the YouTube is not up right now. We do have some texts on the fan text line about the YouTube.
It should be up now.
The YouTube is working?
Yes.
The YouTube is...
So far as I can tell.
Survey says...
Says we're live.
Says Dirt and Sprague is on.
No, we're good. Oh, yeah, it says Dirt and Sprague, but it is us.
That's us. That's well, us.
I put in our name.
All right. Well,
I'll let Jake fix that.
There we have it. But we are back up on the YouTubes. You can watch on youtube.com/1080amthefan, twitch.tv/1080amthefan as well. Hey, I got a little update here. I got a little update. You know, your local Toyota dealers present the 11th Annual Fan Golf Classic June 24th at Langdon Farms Golf Club.
Indeed.
There are only, I believe it was four, but it might even be down to three now, afternoon slots available.
Oh, the afternoon's going early.
The afternoon is selling like hotcakes. So if you want to get in that afternoon round, you've got to go to 1080thefan.com, click on that Fan Golf Classic logo, and you can get details on the event and click on that link there. But if you want to be playing in that golf tourney, afternoon slots are filling up very fast. We're only down to a handful. And the morning, also, I say that with like there's three or four left in the afternoon. There's not many in the morning either, guys. Gals, golfers, aficionados. It's filling up very fast. So if you want to play in the local Toyota Dealers Presents 11th Annual Fan Golf Classic, also brought to you by Henderson Daughter, Window and Doors, and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Attorneys. You need to go now.
Indeed.
We are, and look, we're a month and a half.
We're 6 weeks out.
Dude, you better.
Hey, less than 6 weeks out.
You
actually
better get to going.
This is, we always say this
they
every year.
Out.
It happens so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Afternoon is the hot round right now.
That's me.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it.
So we'll keep you all updated, but we're less than a handful. Less than a handful away.
I'm getting dialed in, man. I'm getting dialed in. I'm taking my first real lesson on Thursday.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Down at Langdon.
Good.
See?
Good. Lessons help.
Yeah.
With golf.
Everything I've ever done has been like, I think this is how I'm supposed to do it.
It's not.
It's not.
It really isn't.
No.
Mm-mm.
If you've seen me play, you know that.
Have you seen a golf kid crying?
No.
It was the most relatable thing I've ever seen. It's a video of this little kid, and he's got a mullet.
Oh, yeah.
Which is rad. But he's like melting down, and his dad's like, "Did you have fun golfing?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "Do you want to keep golfing?" "Yeah." He's like, "Do you like golf?" "Yeah." "Why are you crying?" And the kid just goes, "Aah." And I was like, "Yep, been there."
Yeah, that's,
that kid is ready for golf.
Yeah.
That's what golf is.
I wish I would have gotten into it so much younger.
Yeah. It helps.
It's the country club sport, but also just like, just getting into it younger would have been so, like, would have been so, so helpful.
Well, yeah. It playing that game young.
Yeah.
Fixes a lot of your problems that you have when you get older. All right, let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Don't tell me what to do.
I will.
You can now.
Yep.
I don't like it.
Got it. But we've got a ton that we need to get to.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah. I don't like this.
All right, we got a ton to get to. We got NBA playoffs. Home teams through three games of the conference semifinals are 0-3. That's a little odd to see. We have some college football news notes. Nuggies. We have Colorado fans. They're just dumb.
Why?
Well, You know why.
I know why.
They're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
They're drinking the Kool-Aid. And you know what? It might actually be Colorado has football fans now.
Hmm.
Are they drinking the Kool-Aid or are they drinking the Prime?
Oh.
Oh, I see what you did there.
The Prime drink.
I see. Yeah, it's the Prime drink. Hmm. That's not as big of a hot ticket item as it once was either. No. Can the Paul brothers go away?
Hmm. Please.
Can they?
My kid asks me for those Prime drinks all the time. I'm like, no.
Really?
I will not give those guys one red cent.
But you know what?
All of them.
I think the big age, because those were big like 4 or 5 years ago, like, and they would sell out like immediately.
Yeah.
No matter where you went, they would just be gone off the shelves. And they were like teenagers when this was happening, mm-hmm. right? These are all the same people that are, have you seen the Bush Apple?
No.
Bush Light Apple? Blapple?
No.
Ew.
Apparently, it's like Bush Light, but just apple flavored.
Huh.
It sells out immediately.
Probably started out with like the college kids putting a Jolly Rancher in their Bush Light.
Well, it obviously was not the high school kids, Jeff. I mean, that's illegal and nobody would do that.
Nobody would do that.
That's just irresponsible.
Because I was not 21 at all in college.
That's right. It is my belief that the same people that were buying up all the Prime drinks are now just buying up all the Blapple.
Look, you find your things. I mean,
yeah.
I'm trying to think. What I mean, other than the caffeine mixed with alcohol malt beverages, that was our jam.
It was just whatever was cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Bush Light, Pabst.
Does the HRD still reign supreme? With the cheap young crowd?
So
they might go with the Burnett's because you get all the flavors there.
Mm.
But the HRD,
quantity.
There is a, and they're not wrong in this, that it's the most popular vodka in America.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's the well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like bars everywhere are buying it because it's the well.
Yeah.
Like it's the cheapest one that they can have, right?
Yeah. When you produce it at that level, man.
Yeah, just a grade off of gasoline. That's the level that we're at. But that's awful. HRD.
Yeah.
But there, it was whatever was cheap. And that would be like Steel Reserve, Old E, Camo,
oh God.
Mickey's, Bush Light.
$1.89 for a good 40 OE.
Yeah, you would splurge and like you'd have some Budweisers every now and then, huh?
We might go get the Mickey's grenades.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a different time. It was just whatever was cheap.
I saw the fishbowl size Buzz Ball the other day and I went, "Oh God, that looks like just a barrel of bad decisions."
No, I'm not it. That ain't it, man. That ain't it.
Yeah.
That's a Will Ortner special, the Buzz Ball.
I
didn't even know what it was. I'd seen it before, but I was like, I don't even know what this is. I don't, because they keep it, like, by the way, they have it, like, on end caps in convenience stores near, like, the candy section.
No, it genuinely looks like it's just, like, an energy drink kind of a deal.
Or, like it looks like the old, you remember they look like they had the small Squeeze-Its?
Mm.
They kind of look like, and they were kind of round balls.
Yeah,
they were like knockoff Squeeze-It.
I know what you're talking about.
It looks like one of those. That's what I thought it was. And then Will's like, "Did you ever Buzz Ball?"
Yeah.
No.
They're like little Kool-Aid men.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think at the end of that you're saying, "Oh, yeah."
Mm. Oh, no. Regrets. Regrets. The sugar. It didn't help.
Yeah. It's literally buying regret.
Yeah. All right. Ugh. Well, let's get this show on the road because basketball was good. I can't believe what the Boston Celtics did last night. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. A duo of game ones last night in the NBA playoffs. I didn't even hear that drop. What was it? What did I say?
That's Talking Screws.
Well, that's Talking Screws. Coming up next on NBC Sports Northwest. Talking Screws.
Late night.
Talking ball. Talking Screws.
Cable After Dark.
Talking Beavers.
Mm.
Talking Ducks.
Mm.
I guess that last one doesn't fit, but
Not really.
They had talking. they were talking everything on that channel. That channel that once employed all three of us.
Yeah.
Yes,
indeed. Still alive.
It's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's long dead.
We're still alive. Yeah.
dead inside.
Yeah. You were doing that was you when you were working there, though, too. You know, it didn't, nothing really changed.
I did find some memorabilia when I was doing some house cleaning. I found some jackets and some polos.
Oh, yeah. That's.
Yeah.
Always so good looking.
Yeah.
Always so.
I will say we did at least great. Have the nice Nike golf polos.
Yeah.
That's about all we got.
Nah.
And a backpack.
Nah, the backpack I used. Yeah. Everything else?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. You know what, for my 5-year anniversary, I think I picked out the Samsonite bag.
Oh,
luggage.
Ooh, nice. Hey.
Samson. Swanson.
Like, Swanson.
We got those OGO bags.
Yeah.
Those are nice. Yeah. That's about it.
All right.
You can kiss my ass.
All right.
Exactly, because then they laid me off shortly after.
Last night we had a overtime thriller, game one in Boston in the TD Garden, as the New York Knicks get their first win over the Boston Celtics all season long.
This one matters the most.
108-105 victory in game one, where the Boston Celtics went 15 of 60 from three. They missed 45 three-pointers.
What's worse, missing 27 straight threes with the Rockets in 17-18 or missing 45 threes in a game?
I think 27 in a row.
It's pretty bad.
Because of also the gravity of the situation, that eliminated them.
Yeah.
The Celtics can still win this series. Yeah. And actually, history will tell you that the team, if you lose home court in game one, conference semis, you have actually a pretty good chance of winning that series. Matt Moore, CBS, said teams that go up 1-0 on the road in the second round are 31-32 in those series. So over 500 for the teams that fall at home in game one in the conference semifinals. And we've only had three of the four conference semifinals games go off. The home teams are 0-3, my friend.
Pretty crazy.
And last night, like, that game was close, but all it came down to is if Boston shoots 30% from three, they win that game, and it's probably not even close.
Yeah, you hit two threes in regulation, and you're walking away with the game.
Yeah, but
they didn't.
As it was, the New York Knicks kind of put Boston in a blender, and if you are New York fan, you're sitting there and you're going, dude, Karl Anthony Towns didn't set the world on fire. Now, Karl Anthony Towns in the playoffs doesn't usually do that.
We've seen that before.
But if you get a game like that from Cat and you still find a way to win, you have to have some optimism if you're the New York Knicks, especially on the road.
And not just Cat, Mikal Bridges. I mean, he ended up hitting a massive shot.
He made the ones that matter.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he was 1 of 10 going into overtime. Remember right? He was 1 of 10 or 2 of 11, but he was struggling. But he hit the big three that was just massive for them down the stretch. But, I mean, there were plenty of guys for the Knicks that didn't show up. I mean, you want to talk about missed shots, take a look at the Knicks' missed free throws. And it's not just Mitchell Robinson's 3 of 10. You take Mitchell Robinson's 3 of 10 or off the dock, they're 14 of 21 from the free throw line. That's not good.
No.
Now, they went to the hack of Mitch because he's a god-awful free-throw shooter, and that'll be a story of this. But, I mean, talking about forcing free throws, we'll get to that in the other series as well.
Mitchell Robinson, 3 of 10 from the line.
3 of 10 from the line. Not great, Bob. Brunson, while not as historically great as he was in the closing stretch against the Pistons, OG Anunoby was a bleeping dude.
OG was great, and look, the craziest part about what the Boston Celtics did in losing that game, we mentioned, look, you make two more threes and you win comfortably in that. They were able to build a 20-point lead in that game.
I looked at my wife when they got it to 20, and I was like, all right, I'm going to my office. Because we were watching the game in the living room, and I'm like, I'm going to my office. I'm going to throw the game on the other monitor, and I'm going to start doing draft stuff. And they just started chipping away. It was a 25-9 run, 25-7 run.
29-9 at one point. 29-9 run at one point.
And I went, about three quarters of the way through that, I slowly matriculated back out to the living room and was like, all right, let's lock in for this.
Because,
I mean, look, there's been some stuff going back and forth between local Celtics coverage and local Knicks coverage. The Celtics coverage is like, well, I mean, if the Celtics just hit threes and the Knicks are like, whoa. The Knicks did a lot to force missed threes, and they did. Like, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were objectively bad in this game, and it wasn't just, oh, they didn't have it. The Knicks were flying around and making it very difficult for the Celtics to play Celtics basketball. And by Celtics basketball, I mean the just rudimentary drive and kick. They were not getting clean looks, collapsing the defense, and then kicking out to clean look after clean look after clean look. The Celtics are doing a very good job of taking away stuff at the rim and cluttering the paint enough while actually recovering to shooters to offer some sort of contest. Now, you can talk about how contests, which is actually, there's something crazy I think a lot of NBA fans in general don't know. Contests don't really matter all that much. Like the level of contest, the data just kind of bears that out. Now, you can have an impact if you get a really good contest and you can get somebody to change it up. But as a defense, what you're trying to do is not, I mean, yes, you want to get good contests just because of the mental aspect of it. But what you're trying to do is limit the value of open threes, and particularly in the corners. And when you force a team to take contested threes that maybe feel a little bit rushed and you're not in rhythm and you're not getting the, you know, swing, open looks like the Pacers got against the Cavs when they were just carving them up, it does seem to have a level of mental effect that you can't quantify.
All right. So from the, what are we at here? The 6:19 mark to the, in the third quarter, to the 5:55 mark in the fourth quarter, the New York Knicks erased a 20-point hole and tied the game at 89. Okay. Over that span, the Knicks shot 54% from the field, which is good. Which is good. 63.5% from three. They went 7 of 11 from three. The Boston Celtics shot 28% from the field and went 5 of 17 from three, 29%. It wasn't just incredible shot making from the New York Knicks, but when you also look at it, that also coincided with a turnover differential of 4-0. The Knicks did not turn the ball over a single time in that span, and Boston just started booting the ball around. And that's when you go, all right, the stars need to kick you out of that. Jays, right? Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you said they were not great. They combined to go 2 of 7 from the field in that stretch. Derek White goes 1 of 4. Like, nobody was hitting shots for the Boston Celtics. And the question is, for the Knicks, are you going to have another one of those runs in you? Because the Celtics were not playing particularly well, and they still were able to build up a 20-point lead against you.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult space to be in.
They only missed 12 of their 45 three-pointers in that stretch where you erased the 20-point lead. Only 12 of 45. That's crazy talk. That means they missed 33 other threes in the game.
Real quick, I went into the data and just kind of, I took out threes and just taking a look at how these players shot on twos at all levels of the floor. So taking out the entire 3-point line and any heaves, anything along those lines. Jalen Brunson led everybody in those shot attempts with 14. He had a 28.57% shooting percentage, and his shot quality was awful. But if you look up and down the shot qualities for everybody, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Jalen Brunson, those four guys had the worst shot quality of anybody out there.
Oh.
So the four, you know, the two engines for each team, Jaylen and Kat and then the Jays, their shot quality was very bad. And the only guys who had positive outcomes – based on the expected outcomes on those shots, were Brown and Cat. And neither of those guys were able to really influence the game all that much. Brown because he couldn't hit a three, and Cat because he just didn't get the volume, which has been a major, major, major issue for the Knicks. And I've seen so many Knicks fans blaming Tibbs, blaming Tibbs, blaming Tibbs, and I'm like, the next time Karl-Anthony Towns sets a real screen and a real pop, like relocates with effort and intensity, will be the first. I've talked to a bunch of assistant coaches over the last probably week or so, particularly about the Knicks, because there's been this whole big push about Tibbs and Cat, and it's like, basically every one of them said the same thing. Remind me again, did Cat have this issue before he came to the Knicks? And it's like,
yes.
Look, can Tibbs, you can tell a guy to go do it, but if he's not going to set the screen and he's not going to do the thing that's going to, like, look, there's very few guys in the league who want to set screens because it's physically taxing. It takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of effort to screen and rescreen and also like dive to the rim or pop with real verve, as it were. But that's the ask.
Yeah, here's the question that I have. Because obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns, Julius Randle swap this offseason. Even at the time, everybody's like, whoa, like that's a big move for both of these teams. Which one of those guys had the red flag that you can overcome? Because that, I believe, is why that deal was made and why we are in the place we're at. That after Rust with SportsCenter. One of the big swaps of last offseason was Karl-Anthony Towns heading from Minnesota to the New York Knicks for Julius Randle and other pieces.
Definitely
obviously.
Not for any financial reasons whatsoever.
And Dante DiVincenzo also went on the move as well. But both of those guys had shown their red flags. And that's kind of why you see players of their caliber being swapped is postseason. And obviously the financial implications of Karl-Anthony Towns, right?
Mm-hmm.
But which one of those guys do you feel you can exercise the red flags and maybe put those down when it comes to playoff time? Because Julius Randle has been really stinking good in playoffs. So has Karl-Anthony Towns in spurts mm-hmm. at times. And Julius Randle has also been disappearing act in the playoffs at times.
I would say it's Julius because there's a level of, and I mean this in like the most positive and praiseful way possible. He has an inflated sense of self-worth. And I'd rather have that and have to back a guy down. It's the difference between the woe horse and the giddy horse.
You have he has that dog in him.
Yeah, he's the woe horse. You pull the reins back like, "Hey, you're doing a little too much. You think you're Kevin Garnett and you're not. It's okay." Like, I'd rather have that than, "Hey, Cat," and have to smack him on the butt over and over and over again, like try to rev him up. You got to pull you're smacking the whip and just going, "Hey, dude, we need you to get going." There's no arguing the talent difference. Cat's bigger and more talented. There's no arguing that. He is one of the best shooting bigs the league has ever seen. Remember when he was like, "I'm the best shooting big of all"? No, you're not. Dirk Nowitzki exists. You're nowhere close. The volume and then the ask and like what he was asked and what he did, it's nowhere. You might be one of the best 3-point shooting bigs of all time. There's a very good argument for that for Cat. There's no doubt about it. But you can't build your offense around either of those guys in Cat or Julius Randle, but they can be really, really, really good supporting guys. And where Julius can, where he shines, I think matters more in the playoffs because he can be a very good connector and he can lift the tides of other guys. I've never seen Cat, other than having like just a crazy offensive performance, raise the tide for the entire team.
I agree with that. And that Karl-Anthony Towns, though, is the more gifted athlete.
Oh, God, yes. And like, he's just significantly bigger.
But he doesn't have that it factor.
It's the impact stuff of like, it's the IQ, it's the feel. It's look, what gets Julius into troubles or, you know, over the years, like he does this thing where he has a great year and he starts kind of maybe believing his own hype a little too much and he does a little too much. Then he falls down.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, I need to reset and come back up. Like you can see these waves in it where Cat, it's pretty much a static line.
Yeah.
And the problem is in the playoffs, that static line drops lower. Whereas with Randle, it's a bit more of a mixed bag, but I think it's pretty clear who's been more productive and more impactful for their teams so far in the playoffs. Randle's been very good for the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Cat's just been fine.
All right. Well, all-time vibes guy, and he gets these vibes from the earth and its creatures.
Mm.
Next on The Fan. All right. The Cleveland Browns selected Dylan Gabriel in the draft. Remember that?
I do. Was there anything important about that?
Well, it was in the third round and two rounds before they selected Shedeur Sanders, which seems to be all the conversation.
Oh, right.
But I think the bigger conversation should be had, is Dylan Gabriel a bird whisperer? Does he speak to the animals? Is he a Disney princess? Dylan Gabriel.
He does have that look.
Oh, he's a handsome young man.
He's got the Disney prince thing. Like that's definitely working for him.
Yeah, I could see him saving a princess at some point, you know?
You know, now that I think about it, he does look like a character off of a Disney, like, teen show.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
He really does.
He's got that vibe about him. Well, we can now go a little bit further with this because everybody in the Disney movies talks to animals.
They do.
And Dylan Gabriel just might do that. This video and audio has been uncovered. This is from the day before the NFL draft started. Here's Dylan Gabriel.
This is where all the boys would get together, at least in the neighborhood. Wanted to talk story or hang out. Check out the view. That bird back there.
What are they saying?
Cleveland Browns, 94. That's what he said.
Okay.
Cleveland Browns.
With the 94th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Dylan Gabriel.
Oh, my God.
Hey, man. How we doing?
Amazing now.
We're pumped for you. We're pumped for your family.
Whoa.
Amazing now.
He talks to the birds.
I will say that's a pretty good bird whistle.
Yeah, he's good at that.
You give me a duck call, I'm okay. But you give me just the hands. I ain't speaking to nature like that. I need an assistant.
Those Islanders, man,
right?
They got it. So Dylan Gabriel either talks to the birds or he talks to general managers who say, "Hey, if you're there in the third round at 94, we really like you and we'll take you."
Mm.
I mean, either one of those may have happened, but
it'd be really funny if the general manager's name was like Joe Bird. Yeah, I do talk to birds.
Was it Andrew Berry?
Berry.
Andrew Berry is the GM there. Well, he ended up going 94th overall to the Cleveland Browns.
And quack, 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 quack.
Yeah, a lot.
It's pretty interesting, though. Like, the Browns could have moved around and made some deals for him to end up at that pick that they did hold. But it's, you know, there was some movement. And
well, I think the greater conversation here is that a lot of these guys are told, hey, this is where we view you. This is where we value you.
Yeah.
And there's some honesty there.
Mm-hmm.
Shedeur Sanders held an extravagant first round draft party. So either he was unwilling to hear what those evaluations are, or teams just weren't talking to him and telling him that. And the whole Shedeur thing of him falling and all this, it's like every single story that has come out is that he didn't want to hear some of the hard truths.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to do the preparation for his interviews. And teams at that point just go, dude, we are done.
Yeah.
And so if all you're hearing is from the talking heads who are still saying, oh, yeah, he's a first-round talent. He's going to go in the first round. He's going to be second quarterback off the board. The thing is, does he get past 9? If that's what you're listening to, and the teams in the NFL aren't being transparent with you, well, that's how you see such a surprising fall in the NFL draft.
Probably need to listen to Mel Kiper a little bit less.
Yeah, dude, the Mel Kiper and Ryan Clark just going off about every aspect of the collusion or race was an issue. That
Stop.
Was not what happened with Shedeur.
No.
There were so many other factors, and you guys were unwilling to listen to what is. And then Mel Kiper saying the NFL doesn't know how to evaluate quarterbacks. Dude, neither do you.
No. Remember, he had didn't he have Josh Rosen number one on his board?
Well, yeah. He also said that if Jimmy Clausen wasn't a starter in the NFL in 5 years, that he would quit.
He's still here.
He didn't do that. Jimmy Clausen was terrible.
I think he's selling real estate now.
Look, evaluating quarterbacks is really stinking hard.
If anybody actually cracked the code, they'd be worth $1 billion.
But if you have whiffs, you can't be sitting there and saying the NFL doesn't know how to evaluate quarterbacks. Ridiculous.
Makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. But Dylan Gabriel speaks to the birds. He's a man of the people.
Update his LinkedIn, bird whisperer.
Yeah. Yeah.
At bare minimum, bird caller.
I think so.
It's a pretty good bird call. I don't know what bird that would be, but it sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some people that are out there that are going,
well, that's a
that bird is not indigenous to Hawaii, dude.
That's a Midwestern warble.
Which is exactly how CBS got popped
for the fake birds,
in bird sound on their PGA broadcast. Yeah. Like, no, that's not, because the golf fans are weird.
I mean,
they're very weird.
The Venn diagram of weird bird watcher and golf is a pretty solid intersection.
Well, they harnessed the perfect crowd because the PGA Tour used to allow viewers on television to call in rules infractions that would be enforced.
That's nasty work, by
the way. Could you imagine the NFL being like, hey, here's our 800 number. If we missed a call, give us a ring. We'll make sure we institute that.
DBs and linemen would cease to exist.
We know that the Pac-12 had that with the director of official, what's his name, Woody something, who called in the Washington State USC ruling.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least he worked for the league. Mm. But they had, the PGA made their own bed with, hey, you can call in rules infractions. Those same people are the exact same people that are going to call in to CBS and be like, that bird is not indigenous that I heard on the broadcast. You're piping in the bird sounds.
I want to be nowhere near that person in my life.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
If you're calling in rules infractions or the piped in birds, we are not simpatico.
Yeah. What's more impressive, this text? Dylan Gabriel can talk to the birds, or the birds can predict the future? Ooh. I'm going to go with Dylan Gabriel being able to talk to him, because animals are very intuitive. Mm. Like,
just all vibes.
Well, earthquakes, before earthquakes happen, they animals will head for the hills. Yep. Like, so I'm going to go, like, they have that in them.
They can feel it. They can sense it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All right. All right.
If you could talk to an animal, only one type of animal.
Dog.
Dog?
100% dog. No. I mean, I pretty much know what they're thinking.
Hey, look at me. Look at me. Whip at me.
There's
whip
a.
Me. I'm a good boy. I'm a good boy. I'm hungry.
There's a Rick and Morty bit where he invents bread that the ducks eat that you will allow you to hear them talk. And all I do is just say the F-bomb back and forth.
So they're just dudes.
And I was like, yeah, ducks are jerks.
Dogs are?
Ducks.
Oh, ducks.
Ducks.
Yeah, ducks kind of are. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a little bit of that. Now, geese, nope.
Complete a-holes.
Yeah.
100%.
No. Ooh, I may want to spin this.
Mm.
I may want to spin this to snakes.
Mm.
Or, like, bears, mountain lions, something that will kill me. I could be like, bro, not today, man.
How about gorillas?
I'm just trying to have a great walk.
Mm.
Can you just leave me alone to be like, yeah, sorry, my bad. I'd be like, dude, you
in the area, and you're like, hey, I can hear you.
No, man. Get out of here with that noise. Yeah. That's the one. I think that now that I'm thinking about it, dogs, there's so many of them around. Mm-hmm. It would just be annoying. But to be like, hey, can you just get out of here? I don't taste good. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hurt you, man, so don't bite me.
Yeah, I'm not looking to skin you, man.
Yeah.
We're cool.
Dude, I got boots.
Yeah.
I don't need you.
Mm. And I like croc skin.
Yeah.
I'm a snake skin guy.
Yeah. B-Rod in a lion. Want to be able to talk to a lion? Yeah, well.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't come across them very often.
I was thinking gorilla, though.
I don't think I ever have.
You don't even have to be 100 on one. Maybe you can just reason with the gorilla. Be like, hey, man, let me just choke you out real quick.
Yeah. Hey, dude, I'm just going to pop you on the job real quick.
Did you go down?
I'm going to give you so many bananas.
Yeah. I got a lot of money coming.
We got this one-on-one, bro. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe
See?
That's it.
See?
All right.
You can just do a whole, just get a whole griff going.
Mm. Yeah.
Guerrilla fighter.
All right. Well, now we have people sitting here thinking that Dylan Gabriel is a government agent now because birds aren't real and he's talking to him.
Mm.
You know? Maybe.
Dylan Gabriel, government plant. They're watching Shadur. They need to make sure they got one in ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Shadur
man.
Sanders, not real.
Shadur Sanders, not real.
See?
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Hour number two coming up next. The Boston Celtics weren't the only home team to lose. The one seed in the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder, go down to the Denver Nuggets. And holy guacamole, that Nikola Jokic, really good. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.